Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And today we have a special one. We want to talk about UK specifically. What does dropshipping look like in the United Kingdom? What is different than the US? Do you need a UK specific course that costs even more than every other course on the market to do the same thing? We're here to answer those questions. We brought one of our best UK students, Jaden, who's been on the podcast before, to come back on the podcast and talk to us about different UK specific topics. Welcome, Jaden. Let's get started. Like, where do you want to jump into this? What is the most common question you get? I know you get reached out to a lot in the Facebook group of people wanting to know questions about the UK. What's the first most common question that comes up?
Yeah, I think the first most common question is does it work in the UK? Which we've done a separate video on, but we can touch on quickly here because it's always where people start. And I think there's a common misconception that comes from if you look into dropshipping, if you look at the educational content online, it's all very American. And I think even dropshipping as a term is pretty American. If you run a dropshipping business here in the UK, you won't hear the word very often. We're normally called online retailers. They talk about direct to home delivery quite a lot. So I think there's this concept of maybe dropshipping is just this American thing that only works over there. So that's the first thing is, does it actually work in the UK? Is it a viable business model? Which we can go ahead and answer right away if you guys like. I mean, it's something you guys have touched on before on the podcast. It works anywhere. There's a well-developed e-commerce market, right? So it doesn't have to be the UK. We were talking before this call about loads of different territories in Europe that have easily got a well enough developed e-commerce market and enough of a population to run a business there. So as long as you've got that, you're good to go.
I think some people just like to hear their own accent of somebody who's actually doing the work there say that. Now, before the podcast, before you even hopped on, Jaden, John did his best UK impression. If we can get that out of him during this show, the ratings are going to go through the roof. But I think it's just nice to hear that, you know, a UK person says, absolutely, this works. And it might be different nomenclature there in the UK.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think there's always comfort, isn't there, in seeing that that works over there. And, you know, even just, and don't get wrong, there are some nuances, like the way you would speak to customers. I actually think this is a good reason not to run a business, for example, in the US. If you're in the UK, it's like, you know, pretty similar cultures, but we talk about things differently. We think about things differently. So when you're writing for your customer, if you're operating a business in the US, there are going to be some things that we say that sound a bit ridiculous, like we're in an episode of Downton Abbey. And vice versa, right? So certain stuff isn't going to land. But equally, like you say, there's also comfort in hearing it in terms that are a bit more, you know, familiar.
Can we talk about like UK specific nomenclature? So, you know, right out of the gates, sounds like dropshipping isn't necessarily the word, like retailer. I don't like to use the word dropshipping. It's simply a method of fulfillment. Is there something else happening? Like when you inevitably build your website and start calling suppliers, are you saying something different than I would be saying here in the US or that we've taught on this show before?
Yeah, only to the extent. So all of the scripts, all of the why a supplier would want to work with you doesn't change. It's more the conversation and the way the supplier approaches the conversation. So not much changes on your end approaching. But generally, if a supplier is keen to work with you, they'll give you two prices. Normally one called a stockist price, which is, of course, you're taking stock, you're holding it in a warehouse or a 3PL or whatever it is, and generally that will come with elevated margins and a minimum order quantity, or a direct home delivery price, and you'll get two different margins for those, right? And most of their online retailers, certainly in all the niches I've seen inside in the UK, will be on the direct home delivery, especially with larger items, which often high ticket products tend to be. Like, it is the most efficient way, and particularly with the UK being a smaller country, it works very well having everything in one central warehouse, normally coming in from Europe or China or wherever it might be, going into one central UK warehouse and then going out across the country. So there's not often a really good reason for places to hold stock, unless maybe they've got a showroom or, you know, something like that. So yeah, you get two of those, but generally you won't have a supplier say to you, oh, so you want to drop ship or you want to do drop shipping. It'll just be, so you want to be an online retailer of ours. Do you want to hold stock and get this price, or do you want us to hold your stock and get that price?
This sounds very like similar to Australia. Is it, are you using different, the same language over there, John?
Yeah, I mean, there's variations. I mean, Australia and the UK are very similar in a lot of ways, you know, the ways our sales tax works and things like that. Understandably, because, you know, we're have similar systems of government and all of that sort of thing. So it's not a big surprise. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think even the some of the terms that are used here is different once again in some ways from the UK, from the US, and you know, I don't know. Yeah, I try not to get hung up on that stuff. I'm like, well, what's the difference? It's just words.
And I think
I
that's a
think you're
good
right.
point, right? Yeah, we're going to say the same thing. I think there will be courses and content creators who try and tell you that, you know, if you reach out to a supplier with an American course script, that it's not going to land with a UK supplier, right? If you're doing that, you're taking the course and it's education too, literally. Like if you're there reading off a script, you're going to have bigger problems than whether it's, you know, an American language or UK nomenclature or whatever it is. Ultimately, you know, speak to the supplier as a human. Speak to them in the same way you would someone else, and you know, yeah, and follow the instruction in the course rather than the letters and the words, and you're going to be fine.
Look, I think too many people who come into our course from the UK want to sell in the US. So I want to jump right there. Do you think you should sell in the US from the UK? And you kind of touched on this earlier, or should you stay in the UK and why? And I know John has some opinions on this as well.
Personally, I think it would be a massive shame for someone based in the UK to start their dropshipping business in the US. I think it would be, well, the first thing is like dropshipping is a customer service business model, right? So you get someone, customer reaches out to you, hey, really like this product, think I want to buy it, just want to confirm a few questions. I'm in California. I want to speak to you at the end of my working day at 6 p.m. That's going to be, I don't know what the time difference exactly is, but sometime in the a.m. over here. That's going to get pretty old pretty quickly. And like those leads happen all the time, right? And you want to service them really well. You want to be able to talk to the customers, you know, at times that suit them. And, you know, you want to be able to get that sale by doing the best customer service. So like right off the bat, that's massively inconvenient. The fact that our business hours partially overlap with some of America and barely at all with other parts of it. So that's going to be a nightmare. Not to mention, like I still genuinely can't think of one good reason to start in the US versus the UK. I can totally think of them if you're in a territory. I'm trying to think of a good example, possibly somewhere like India or maybe the Philippines, things like that, where maybe e-commerce isn't quite as developed and you might not have the same availability of suppliers and customers, etc. But in a country like the UK, I can't see why you would, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think people get to that a little bit out of fear, right? So once again, it goes back to that thing about saying, like, you see a lot of the drop shipping stuff in seems US specific, right? And people are like, well, I want to do it, but I've only really seen lots of successful people doing it or heard them in the US, so that must be the best place to do it. And that was kind of that way when I started in Australia. There was like literally not a single other Australian person I could find, hear from, or anything doing this. But of course, there were people in the US doing it and had been for quite some years. So I think that the thought crossed my mind when I started, for sure, should I do it here or should I do it in Australia? But I think I was like, man, there's just a massive opportunity here. Like, there's no one doing it. So, like, that means I have very little competition. You know, and that turned out to be true. And I think, you know, the UK is the same. It just like, yeah, it doesn't make sense to do it anywhere else. Like, why make your life harder when you don't have to? The US is a very competitive market. Yeah, it's a big market. And I think people assume that as well. Like, it's 350 million people or whatever, 380 million or whatever it is. So it must be like a big market. And it is, but it's very competitive as well. Like, in comparison, you know, if you look at individual markets and like things like SEO and that sort of stuff, it's more competitive. Like, Ben's always saying, like, he can't wait to do SEO in Australia because, like, literally you can rank something like that because the quality of what's online here is just it's generally lower and there's less of it. And it's the same in the UK, to be fair, when you compare the two. So I don't really think there's any real argument for doing, like, if you live in an in-between country that, like we say, that doesn't have a big e-commerce market or it's not developed, then sure, the US probably the best bet. Although I would say if you're from another country, it's actually super easy to start a business in the UK. Not a lot of people know that. It's actually easier than the US. So a little tip for anybody out there who might be closer to the UK than the US, you could do that.
Well, I'm on board. Stay in your country. Like, there's just so much opportunity out there. I get why you want to come over here where all of our credit cards are maxed out, but it, like John said, it brings a lot of competition. And so to your point, I've hopped on a call with Jaden to help him with one of his pages. And there just wasn't a lot of people doing sophisticated things when we look through the search results. And so I know you're just getting started with that, Jaden. I'm excited to see where that page ends up and where the rest of your website can end up as well. Look, heading into niche selection, market selection, human selection, how is that different? So in America, we can get real tight here. Because there's so much competition, like, you can have a super tight store. I think abroad, you might need to go wider. Has that been your experience as well?
Yeah, I think so. And I know I sort of, when I started, I took John's advice and applied it as if I was doing niche selection in Australia, which probably is less necessary now because there are more dropship breakthrough students in the UK. So you can, but you can apply it to all territories with a smaller population, right? Like, 90 maybe a million people in the UK, maybe a bit less, 350 odd in the US, is that right? Maybe 5x larger. So you can just sort of assume that the number of customers you're going to have available in any niche will be five times greater in the US, and probably the number of suppliers as well. So pretty obviously, if you're going to go super niche, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, if I decided I was going to be someone who loves playing pool, like, their favorite thing is to play pool and it's their absolute passion, and I can sell them everything with that, pool tables, pool cues, scoring, everything like that, right? That might be fine in the US and it might allow me to be really focused and grab that share of the market, but in the UK I might struggle for suppliers, because geographically smaller, fewer suppliers, etc., and fewer customers. So I might say, right, actually, I'm going to serve, someone whose pride and joy is their man cave. They want the absolute ultimate man cave and they want it to be the best place, the envy of their friends, great place to hang out. And they might want a pool table for that, but they might also want a jukebox and, an at-home bar, a wine fridge, neon signs, projectors, whatever it might be, right? Whatever helps them achieve that ultimate man cave. And that's going to give me that multiplication effect of now my supplier list, rather than maybe having 10 pool table manufacturers on, now has, 50 different suppliers on, because it's across five different product sets that I'm going to start with initially. And then obviously I have the ability to go and get those customers in those different groups as well, because some customers I'll sell multiple to, some might just come to me for the jukebox, but it gives me a wider net. I will say though, I'm in a niche like that where I have a lot of different product categories and it's a potentially very large market. But like anything in business, you still find your 80-20, right? So you'll still find your area where you sell better, and it just, for whatever reason, is your sort of 80-20 principle, and it's where you make your hay. So I think that'll happen, but I think casting the net slightly wider probably sets yourself up for success a bit more.
Nice. I got a personal question that I don't understand. What is VAT and how does VAT work in the UK? I know it's a question we see pop up a lot. Same with Sole Trader. What do you guys call it over there? I wrote it down here. Sole Trader, limited company. Again, just different nomenclature to what I'm used to here in the US. Can you walk me through what that looks like in the UK?
Yeah, so VAT actually really stressed me out when I first started. And it makes me really sad to think that there's other people having this, because now I'm a year in, I'm like, it's the most basic thing. Why did I ever let this bother me? But like, the literature online is absolutely dreadful for trying to explain this to you. And so I must have read 10 or 15 articles and was still couldn't understand. And then eventually I hired my accountant and they explained it to me in about 2 minutes. But without trying to blow anyone's mind by doing public math and, not having the numbers in front of them on the screen. When you sell something in the UK, and I'm sure I'm ignorant to this stuff, I'm sure it's very similar in Australia and probably pretty similar in the US as well. But basically, if you sell something for £6,000, to make it easy numbers, you don't sell it necessarily for £6,000. You sell it for £5,000 plus VAT, which is 20% on that £5,000, which is the like excluded tax or excluded value added tax is what VAT is, right? Sales tax. And so essentially when you've sold that, in theory, you owe that. And if you were selling a product that had no cost to it, right? If we were selling an information product, for example, we'd owe that £1,000 to the government. That's our sales tax. And the rest is our margin, right? The rest of the 5,000 of that six. Now, because we're dropshipping and we have a cost of products, let's say we buy that product off the supplier for £4,000. So our gross margin is 2,000. We have like 33% margins. We've now paid VAT as well because the supplier has to charge us. So now we've paid £666 on that of that 4,000 is VAT. So we get to take that back. So we don't have to pay that bit to the government. So what's left between that 1,000 on what we charge the customer and what we paid our supplier, that's our VAT liability. So that's what HMRC at the end of the quarter are going to come and say, right, can you tell me all the sales you made and all the VAT you charged? And then can you tell me everything you bought and the VAT you paid? And the difference is what you're going to pay us. And obviously that comes out of your margin. I have templates and, you know, financial spreadsheets that just take this right out of your margin at source. So you know exactly what your net margin is. And also anything you buy in the same period is also VAT deductible. So if you go visit a supplier, the VAT on your fuel is deductible. Same with your subscriptions, anything you buy really. So your VAT liability tends to end up as a relatively small number until you get to start do really, really big quarters. But yeah, it's one of those things at the end of the day, I think this is true of this business model in general. We all tend to find a way to that sort of 15 to 20% net profit margin one way or another. And everything in your market will be calibrated to, for example, in the UK, include VAT because businesses need to make money whilst paying their VAT, right? So yeah, ultimately it's a simple calculation. It's nothing to stress about. It's just something to be aware of when you start making sales, really. It's how I'd categorize it. It isn't something to worry about before you've even started.
Hmm. It's from the outside, it sounds confusing. Is it similar in Australia, John?
Hey, it's exactly the same in Australia. Our GST works pretty much exactly the same way. There's some really minuscule differences, like the rate of what you charge is different. You know, like the actual percentage tax rates are different. But in terms of its mechanism and how it works, it's exactly the same. And yeah, like, I mean, I guess it seems confusing. It still surprises me that people... I don't know. Maybe I'm just not remembering what it was like to be started, but it's such a tiny thing. And you don't even worry about it until you're selling anything. Like, you got so much to do between starting at scratch and worrying about having to pay sales tax. Like, you have to be making sales before it even matters, really. I mean, yes, you've got to have a plan for accounting it and all that sort of stuff. But once again, I mean, if I'm honestly frank with everybody, and this is not me giving you advice, but the tax office, when you're just starting out and you're doing a few thousand in revenue, they don't give a shit about whether you get it right or not. Let me tell you right now, they are not checking every business to make sure, did you miss your things by like 20 pounds or 30 pounds or something? No, they don't care. They really don't care. And even if they do, you know, they're a great lending institution, the tax office.
This is not tax advice. We are not tax professionals. No, proper disclaimer. No, but like there's so many questions, you know, and yeah. We're working on hiring a project manager here who can kind of step in and be like, hey, we should record a video on this or a video on that. This is a great place where I think Jaden could do a little video on VAT. Maybe you could do a little video on GST and just, you know, resolve the fears people might have before they even start, which is many, right? There's a, you know, is my family going to judge me? What are my friends going to think? What if I fail? This is just another one of those that can stop people from starting in the first place. So I think the beauty of this is Jaden had all of these issues and he was kind enough to build something for our course. Jaden, can you talk about like what you built inside the course, the UK specific module, and like what's actually in there? What's in Dropship Breakthrough that addresses the UK specifically?
Yeah, sure. So basically what we've done is created a complete kind of over the shoulder run through of all of these things, a lot of which we've just talked about. So understanding VAT, using spreadsheets, which my spreadsheet is just an adapted version of Isaac's, who anyone in the course will know. Isaac was a high ticket dropshipper turned sort of bookkeeper and an accountant essentially. And so he created a spreadsheet that's fantastic for dropshipping. And then I just adapted it to sort of work for UK financials. So that's in there and how to use that and understand it. So there you go. There's VAT taken care of for you, right? It's good to understand it. And I hope that, you know, by watching the video, you'll be like, okay, I do get how this works. But if you don't, you're just going to plug your sales into the template anyway, right? And it's going to tell you exactly what you owe and how it affects your margins. So, and that's the idea really of this module, is to take the stress out of all of these things that worry people. So I do things on screen, like set up a limited company here in the UK. So I actually go on the government website, and from start to finish, I put in all the details. And again, like, once you've done it, it's all incredibly simple, but they ask you questions like, who are going to be people of, I can't remember exactly how they phrase it, but people of special control or special influence, etc. And these are things that possibly people can look at. In fact, my brother-in-law is actually going through the process of starting up a dropshipping business at the moment. So I'm literally seeing it firsthand. You know, when you're new, you're so scared of getting everything wrong. And the kind of, unlike John just said, everyone thinks that, like, oh, if I get things wrong by any sort of measure, it's going to be legal trouble, my business. Really, we all know it's going to be nothing more than a minor headache, maybe. But it stresses people out and they stumble. And it really, the first 30 to 60 days, like, momentum is the most important thing. Moving towards being able to make a first sale, have a website live, is the most important thing. So that's the idea of this module. I think there's 10 videos in there. It's things like how to set up a bank account, how to form your company, you know, getting your financials right, collecting cookies, all these things. Can you get, you know, getting credit cards, getting credit card rewards points, and anything in that sort of, I'll call it rough admin bracket, that you just need to get done and get out of the way. And that's the idea, right? Is that you do it on screen at the same time as me. And then it is literally, I go in there once, I do the videos and all the action off the back of it, and then I'm done. And I can just focus on the important stuff, like getting suppliers, getting a website up, you know, getting ads up and making a sale.
Well, look, I didn't know the answer to some of these questions. So I appreciate you coming on the show. We've built a special link. So not only does Jaden, you know, hop in and build an entire module for you, if you're thinking about joining our course, you'll have that inside. You can get an hour of Jaden's time where he can help you with this stuff, help you get your business started, help you get moving along. And you can find all of that at dropshipbreakthrough.com/UK. Hop on there, grab a call with Jaden. He's a smart bloke. I'm really glad he's in our course. I'm really glad he's successful. I thank you so much for, like, you know, creating videos for us, hopping on a podcast like this, and coaching for us here in the near future.
No problems at all. I think, if it's okay, just before we finish up, I just want to touch on one more thing, which is sort of why we created the module, which is, we see a lot, and it's people who create courses in the UK who are, to be honest, to call it out, they're playing on that fear that we talked about, which is, there's a lot of people doing it in the US and being successful. I can't see it as much in the UK. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe there's these special nuances and the secret sauce that they need to know. And they try and play on that fear, right? And they try and tell people that you absolutely must buy a UK specific course or you're going to have problems. And it's completely false, right? Like, I took Dropship Breakthrough, international course, I guess you'd call it. It's not really an American course. And, you know, I had to work out the last 2% or whatever it is. Buy the course that has the best content, because realistically, the things that are UK specific are not going to mean success or failure in your business. How you set up your company, the bank account you get, etc., they're small headaches that you want to move through quickly, but they're not going to mean success or failure, right? How well you do marketing and how well you do customer service realistically are going to be the difference. So take the course that gives you the best roadmap for that stuff, and not based on some fear that there's going to be these secret nuances that just don't exist. And even if they did, right, in theory, we've covered them now in this module, because we have taken all the deltas for the UK and put them in there. But I don't know, I see it quite a lot with people saying, oh, I'm worried that if I go with this course that I like the look of more, that there's going to be like gotchas down the road. And yeah, it's not putting people in the best position to succeed. So yeah, that's why we want to definitely avoid that.
I'm secretly waiting for John to hop in, because I feel like he's had a rant on this exact thing deep inside his soul for a long time here. But you kind of hit on it, right? There's not so savvy marketers making a marketing play and selling an inferior course. And, you know, I feel very good saying that Dropship Breakthrough is the best high ticket dropshipping course on the planet. It's not even close. And so by you adding these 10 modules in here to really assess the UK side, there's obviously Australia focused stuff in there. There's US focused stuff in there. This is a business model that can work anywhere there's an established e-commerce market. And man, I'm thankful that you're setting the record straight. John, I can see, is like warming up for a rant here. Let's hear it, John. Come on. What do you got, buddy?
No. I think Jaden hit it very well. It is just marketing spin, and it's lazy marketing by people who actually haven't done the work. They just want to sell courses. Like, frankly, you know, yeah. Look, I don't want to be too mean, but you know, yeah.
The audience wants you to be mean, John.
I know. It's nonsense. I mean, the country specific thing. Even if there were minuscule differences, I mean, it's just so nonsense that. Like, I don't even want to address it. And I know that people have it in their head that there might be differences and that's a fear and all of that sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, Jaden said it exactly. Like, whether or not there are, even if there were differences, like, if you don't get things like learning how to grow a business properly, how to set it up right, all that sort of stuff right, like, it doesn't matter about those tiny differences. Do you know what I mean? Like, because who cares if you get your VAT right? Because you're not going to be selling anything because you're not marketing your business properly. You haven't set it up right. You haven't picked the right niche or the right market to sell in. You're not setting your business up for success. And, you know, so all that stuff, little setup things. I mean, yes, you want to do them right. And yes, it's great that, you know, we're talking about that. But really, like, yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. I got nothing extra to add. I mean, it's all just rant. Other than that, like, just get in and start a business. Let's stop. I'd love to move to a place where people stop even worrying about the tiny things, because, you know, never makes a difference.
Well, if you're in the UK, and you want to get started, dropshipbreakthrough.com/UK. You can see the bonus module in there. You can see the template from Jaden. You get a call with Jaden. There's no better way to hop in and feel safe about your investment in your UK dropshipping business. Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.